Christianity is not about you and I performing well enough to be accepted by God, right? We've established that. Christianity is not about us just being good enough for God to like us enough to keep us. How many know that there is really none good apart from the goodness of the Lord?
Amen.
For all have sinned and fallen short, right, of the glory of God. So sin means to miss the mark. If you were shooting an arrow at a bullseye, at a target, it would mean to miss the bullseye, to miss the mark. And so what Christ has accomplished for us is He has, through His precious blood, has offered forgiveness of sins so that the problem of sin can be canceled and broken in our lives. So we can be reconciled or brought back into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's not possible for us to save ourselves. That's why Jesus had to come in the likeness of sinful man without sin to become the sacrifice for our sin. He took our place on the cross. None of us were able by our own merits to be good enough for God. The problem here is not how good someone is or how bad someone is. The problem is the sin problem. Sin separates us because God is holy. God is completely pure without blemish. Holiness means integration. Everything, His character, His words, His thoughts, everything are completely integrated together. What He says, what He thinks, what He does are always perfectly in order. God is completely without sin. You and I are all unholy because we sin in several different ways. One way we sin is through our thought life. We sin in our thoughts. Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, you know, if a man lusts in his heart after a woman, if he looks upon a woman to lust after her in his heart, he has already committed the sin of adultery. And I don't believe he's talking about, you know, seeing a real hot chick walking down the street and saying, whoa, check that out. I think the problem becomes when we begin to dwell in the wrong place. When we, like someone said once, it's not the first look, okay? It's the second look. And when you begin to undress that person and you begin to imagine in your mind, literally you are committing adultery in your heart. So it's not just actually doing the act, it begins in the heart. How many know that all sin begins in the heart? And so thought sins are like birds that, you know, they may land on your head. You've heard it said that, right? A bird may land in your hair, but that may not be a problem. But if you allow him to make a nest in your hair, now you have a problem. And so thoughts are like that. We have to take captive every thought. Take captive every thought that comes in. And everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, everything that does not go in line with what God says is appropriate, what is true, what is right, those are the things that we have to say, whoa, sip, time to change stations, time to get off subject here and get on to Jesus' channel, amen?
Amen.
Get into heaven's channel there. So thought sins, we sin sometimes in our thoughts. Then there are also, number two, word sins. Jesus said, Matthew 12:36, every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account of, therefore, there in the day of judgment. Has anybody ever made promises that you haven't kept? How many of us have made vows to God that we haven't kept? How many found yourself in a bad spot in life and made a deal with God and you got out of that bad spot only to forget that you had made a vow to God that you were going to live for Him? How many know that is a word sin? You've broken your vow to God. God keeps His promises. Man is a promise breaker. God's people should be promise keepers too. And so we need to be very careful that if we're going to commit to something, if we're going to tell somebody we're going to do this or that, or we're going to be here, how many know it's important that you follow through with what you say you're going to do?
Amen.
Amen. We want to be holy. What we say, what we think, and what we do line up. Jesus is saying, be holy, for I am holy. He's saying, you need to live like I do. You need to be like me. A hypocrite is a stage performer, right? A stage actor. So you can act like a Christian. And you can fool a lot of people. And a lot of people may think that you're a good Christian because you know how to act just right. But how many know that your heart will always tell on you? It's only a matter of time when the facade will come down and what's really going on will be revealed. And so, Christianity is not acting like Jesus. Because sometimes we think, well, I have to act like Jesus. Because Jesus is like this, I have to act like Jesus. Well, you do need to make right choices. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to choose to obey the Lord. Yes. But Christianity is a transformation of the heart, of the character, of the life of the person. God doesn't put band-aids on us and put us in a place where we have to perform. What God does is He forgives sin, He brings you into His family, and He gives you His Holy Spirit. He gives you the ability to communicate with Him. Amen? He gives you the ability to know and understand the mind of Christ. He gives you the ability to live a life that is pleasing to Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of the human will.
Yes.
Whenever we try to live by the power of our will, well, some people are very strong-willed, and some people can actually do a pretty good job of just being a good, upright, moral citizen and claim to be a Christian, and yet God knows the true person. He knows the heart. And so we're not acting like Christians. We are becoming like Christ. We are being transformed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So we have to be very careful about what we say because our words are binding. Our words are, like James said, our tongue is like that little rudder on a ship. And it, even though it's a little rudder, it can turn that great big boat in any direction. And if we're not careful, what we say is going to put our life in the wrong direction very quickly. When people get caught in a lie, and then another lie to cover up the first lie, and then after that another lie, before long, you're just in a deep dark hole. Your life is a mess. How many believe the truth is always good for us? How many believe the truth always feels good? Gotcha. Other word sins, such as gossip, lies, and slander, right? Slandering people. We just look at our politicians today, we can learn some pretty bad examples there. Where they just sit up there and they just slander and attack and degrade. And folks, that's not God, amen? God doesn't do that.
That's right.
We don't do that either. We need to be truthful. We need to tell the truth. But there's a difference between telling the truth and character assassination, where a person is deliberately trying to degrade or bring down somebody to elevate themselves. I want you to hear that. There's a difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, we were talking about conduct within the body of Christ, within the church. Those who are outside the church, God judges. But we are to judge those who are inside the church. Because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. God wants His people to be integrated into Him. Our holiness, folks, is because we are in Christ. He has become for us holiness. Do you see it? I'm not holy just because I perform well. I'm holy because I'm in the Holy One. And I do listen. And we do listen to His voice. How many listen to His voice? How many discovered that listening to His voice is a very good thing?
Amen.
And of course, the third one is deed sins. Deed sins, these things that we do physically in our body, such as adultery, fornication, rape, murder, theft, drunkenness, etc., those types of things, you know, are usually more obvious. So some people got it together when it comes to deed sins. You know, it's they would never do anything outwardly or that would appear to be sinful. But you know what? God is holy, and He is complete light. In Him there's no darkness at all. So any amount of darkness God sees, any amount at all. And what we need is to open our lives and allow the light of Christ to come in.
Yes.
Amen. And completely turn on the full blast, Lord. Yes. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit until we repent of the sins that the Lord points out. The searchlight of the Holy Spirit. When we are confronted about a situation or a sin in our lives, we need to deal with them then. Because we have a tendency to say, one of these days, right? I'll get to it. One of these days, I'll deal with that. Yeah. How many know that one of these days never comes? And it's in the day that the Lord is speaking to you is the also the day that the Lord is going to provide grace for you, so that not only are you going to be forgiven, but there's going to be healing as a result. So we need to be quick to listen before the Lord as well. Isn't that right? And slow to speak. We need to listen, because when God convinces and convicts us, it's never to condemn us, but it's so that He can heal us, so He can restore us, because He loves you. He knows what's best for you. His word is actually good for us. The truth doesn't always feel good. An athlete who's competing in competition doesn't always feel good when he's preparing himself for the race. But it's necessary for him to reach his goal. We need to cast off the sin, amen, and the weights. The weights are those non-essentials in our lives that sometimes bog us down and choke us. You know, the real issue here, folks, is who owns us. Chapter 6 of Romans, verse 14 says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace." We are under new ownership when we come to Jesus, repent of our sins, and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. We come under new ownership. So the question is, who really owns us? If a servant belongs to a master, let's put it in modern context here. If an employee is working for a boss, in a sense, as long as you're under that authority and you're being paid, they own you. And so therefore, if you're under your boss's authority and they tell you to do something, because, in a sense, they do own you, as long as you're drawing a paycheck, you need to obey them. Now, if you choose to say, because you have the liberty to say, "No, thank you, I ain't working for anybody," or "I am certainly not working for you," you have the choice to go. Do you know we have the choice to walk away from God too? God will never force His will on you. This is a consensual relationship. This is a cooperative fellowship. God wants you. He loves you. And He loves you to love Him. He wants you to want Him. And so I choose to submit myself under the authority of God. And I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. I am His property now. Therefore, He calls the shots. Paul said, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for me. I'm under new ownership, new management. I'm the property of the Lord. And that's why sin is not to have dominion over you. You're not to be under its power or its control anymore, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Christ has taken care of the sin problem.
Yes.
Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God.
Yes.
Don't go around saying, I'm a sinner, I'm just a sinner, sinners do what sinners do. You hear a lot of Christians talking that way. Get that nonsense out of your mouth. Say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sin shall not rule. No longer shall sin be your master. You are under new ownership here. You belong to the Lord. And God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He is your righteousness. He is your holiness. He is your sanctification.
You.
We are complete in Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead.
Yes.
It's not in my merits, in my works, but it's in the grace and the mercy of our God that we have been saved. Amen?
Yes.
And we've been brought under new ownership. We have to shift our thinking away from I'm a sinner to I am now a child of God. And I am dead to sin. Sin is not my master. I walk with the Lord now. When you walk with the Lord, when you walk in a relationship with a person, there's fellowship, true fellowship. There's love. There's respect. There's honor. It's not just looking after your own affairs, but you're also concerned about your friend. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. As we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. It's a relationship. Walking with the Lord. When you love someone, you don't do those things that hurt them. Sin hurts the heart of God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You'll obey my commandments. If you love God, you'll do what He says. So who owns you? Amen? Who owns you? Whoever you submit yourself to owns you. Think about that. Wow. Have we submitted ourselves to the one-eyed God called the television set? Can't get away from that program. Can't get away from that show. I can't go to church. I can't pray because that show's on. Who owns you? Some people are owned by their money and by their wealth. They won't trust God with their wealth. Why? Because the wealth has become their God. That's why the Lord told us to tithe and to give. To keep yourself in perspective and understand where it all came from in the first place. Otherwise you become idolatrous and you bow down to the God of Mammon. And you cannot serve both God and Mammon. You have to make a decision. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to trust? Who is your provider? So we're not under the dominion of sin in Christ Jesus, but we've been set free. And then he says in verse 15, what then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But then he says in verse 17, but God be thanked. How many know we need to be thankful?
Yes.
That though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Wow. Do you see? If you keep considering yourself to be under the power of sin, to be a sinner. Now, do we sin? Yes. And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We confess our sins to God. I'm not saying we're without sin. I'm saying this, is that you need to consider yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God. It is a walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify your sin nature. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, amen? Then you don't have that other thing taking over in you and dominating that old flesh man. How do you put the flesh man to death? By staying filled up in God. Amen? By staying saturated in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God. When you are walking in a relationship with Jesus, the sin man cannot dominate you. He cannot control you. There's no such thing as the devil made me do it to a Christian. I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Sometimes we allow ourselves to go. To the degree that, yeah, now you let your flesh get so powerful and you starved out your spirit, man. That now who's calling the shots? How many know that backsliding doesn't happen overnight? It's a degressive thing, should I say? So we need to be vigilant. We need to stay awake. We need to be watchful. We need to be alert. We need to be people of His presence, people of prayer, people of worship. When we come together, man, you should be pulling out all the stops and you should be going after God, because He is your life. He is your source. He is your strength. He is your shield. Amen? He's your sword. He's your deliverer. He's the one who's able to keep you. He's the one who's able to hold you up. Amen? When everything else is falling apart around you. It's not by the grace that we give ourselves. It's by the grace that God gives us.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That word deny means to deny utterly, to disown. Folks, we need to come to a place where we say, and we mean, that I do not own myself anymore. Whenever you own yourself, you're vulnerable to the enemy. If any man will save his life, he will... We lose our life, we give up our life for Christ, and then we find it. We find abundant life. We find righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We find that walking with God is the best thing.
Amen. Amen.
That should have been a big amen.
Amen.
I'll step aside and say, amen. Good point. You know, we are geared towards self-preservation. You know, that thing surrender, that word surrender is sometimes tough, isn't it? When you hear that, you feel like you're going to be losing something. Because we want to save ourselves. We want to hold on to ourselves. We want to save our life. When God says, give me your life, surrender your life, we're bent towards self-preservation. Amen? In the natural, I mean, you know, we want to preserve, we want to protect ourselves. And so, it's a big step. But you have to trust the Lord with all your heart. It's the part that we don't trust Him, you see, that He can't have. He says, if you just give it to me, step over the chicken line, go completely into my heart, go completely into my arms, completely trust me. Give me your life. Just let me have it. I can't bless your life unless I have it. And whatever you hold back from God, He can't bless. But if you can just surrender and say, okay, I'm decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. In verse 17 it says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, Yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching of which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. How many people here today have been set free from sin? How many people here today want to be set free from sin? Okay. Folks, you cannot set yourself free from sin. If you don't get this, you'll struggle and struggle and struggle. You cannot set yourself free. You got to get yourself off the throne of your life. And you need to put Jesus there. He's Lord. Lord means master or owner. If we call Him Lord, He needs to be Lord. And when He has ownership of us, then our life comes into order. When He has ownership of us, then the favor and the blessing of God will be poured out into your life. Because God really does want to bless. He really does want to bless you. Paul's rebuke here to the Galatians in Galatians 3:3. Remember, he was upset because they had begun by simple faith in Christ and in Him crucified and what Jesus has accomplished to set them free, right, from the bondage that they were under in the religious system of that day. And he says, now having begun in the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And so really a backslider is one who has just simply fallen from grace. That's what it really means to fall from grace. It means to fall from the grace of God, because now you put yourself back into the position of self-savior. And I've been there. I know what that's like, and I don't like it there. And what I need to do is I need to believe what God said. I need to believe the report. I need to believe that Christ indeed was crucified. Amen? That Christ indeed is risen. That Christ indeed has forgiven my sin. Amen? That I indeed am a child of His. I have been born again. That I have a name in heaven. That I'm a joint heir to the throne. That I'm no longer under the bondage or the control of sin. I've been set free in Christ Jesus to now walk in a new life. Hallelujah. David Wilkerson said this, and I'm going to finish with this today. Righteousness is believing what God says is true. And committing your life to it. We're under new ownership. I'm a child of God. Are you a child of God today? Have you given your life to Jesus?
Yes.
Then you're under new ownership. And so from now on, the decisions I make have to be run by headquarters. I have to get Papa's approval. Can I go out and play today? When you do that, you see, when you acknowledge Him in all your ways. Proverbs 3, right? 5 through 7, it says, He will make your path straight. Hallelujah. Our righteousness is in Christ. Our holiness is in Christ. Our redemption, amen, it's in Christ. It's because of Christ. It's because of the grace of God. We are who we are today. It's not of our own works. It's not of our own performance. Lest we should boast and say, look how holy I am. Look how great I am. And begin to compare ourselves with other people. Oh, Lord, I thank You that I'm not like other men. See, God has leveled the playing field. John the Baptist said every mountain is going to be brought down. Every valley is going to be filled. Amen. The way of the Lord has been revealed to us. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the door. I'm the truth and I'm the life. And you come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you're struggling and you're trying to perform well enough, because that's what the Pharisee was doing. They were putting people under legalism and bondage, and they were not having a good time. But when you come to Christ and your sins are forgiven and you're accepted into the Beloved, you become a child of the Most High God. You become a royalty, hallelujah, a joint heir to the throne. Life is good in the God zone. Simply keep your eyes on the prize. Fix your eyes on the prize. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep trusting in Jesus as your sufficiency. He's the one who will give you the grace that you need in every day and every moment to get through this life. Hallelujah. Get yourself off the throne and put Jesus there to the highest place. Amen. Exalt Him. When we say magnify the Lord, it says make Him big in your eyes. Magnify Him. Give God praise. When your circumstance dictates contour, you give God the glory. Give God the praise. Get your eyes off the problem and get it on the solution. He's the solution. Hallelujah.